Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting. Today, we will continue with our series on the Holy Spirit. So the past 2 weeks, we have been looking at the gifts of the Spirit. And today, we will look at three of these gifts, faith, healing, and miracles. So our text is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. And we are on the part three of the gifts of the Spirit. So reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. So let us pray before we continue. Father, we want to thank you, God, that in your grace, in your mercy, Lord, that in your sovereignty, that you choose, Lord, to partner with us in doing your work, God. So even as we explore the gifts of the Spirit, help us, Lord, to open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, and to desire these gifts, to develop these gifts so that we can be part of your kingdom, we can build your kingdom together with you in unity with the church, in love, for you, God. So we pray that you bless this time. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we go further, we should be reminded that this list of the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is not a full list. It's not exhaustive. So this table on the PowerPoint slide shows us that there are some other gifts that are mentioned in other parts of Scripture. And you will notice that some of them are mentioned several times, the same gift in different passages, while some are only mentioned once in one of the passages. So in fact, the combination of all these gifts are also not the full list. Paul speaks of different gifts to different churches based on the context of the church and based on his message to that particular church. But what is important here is we recognize that these gifts are all given by God. God is the sole giver of gifts. So like what Pastor Adam shared last week, the Greek word for gifts is charisma, which derives from the word charis, which means grace. So these gifts of the Holy Spirit is a form of grace that God blesses his people. He blesses us for the common good so that we could serve God and serve one another in love and in unity. So as God gives us this charismata it is for us to build the kingdom of God together in unity. All right. And if you remember as well, last week, Pastor Adam showed us these gifts are grouped into three groups. It is all separated by a different Greek word translated as to English as another. So the English translation doesn't show the difference, but Paul uses a different word in Greek. So you can see there, hetero is the different word. Wisdom and knowledge are grouped into one group. Then faith, healing, miraculous power, prophecy, and distinguishing between spirits in one group. And then tongues and interpretation of tongues in another group. Last week, we've looked at the first two gifts, wisdom and knowledge. And if you have missed out on last week's sermon, you can access it in our church website. And of course, if you have any questions about these gifts, please come and talk to us. So today we look at the next three, which are faith, healing, and miraculous powers. So the first gift, faith. before we look at what it is, let's make clear of what it is not. Okay, so the gift of faith here is different from the saving faith that all believers must have. And what I mean by saving faith is the faith in Jesus Christ that he died and saved us from our sins. So the Bible speaks a whole lot about our saving faith. So just taking one text from the Bible in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So God expects all believers to have saving faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, if we don't have saving faith, we will not be Christians at all. But the gift of faith that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians is a different kind of faith. And secondly, it is also different from the fruit of the Spirit that we have looked at in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. So the fruit here mentioned there is faithfulness, which means loyalty, fidelity to God, to one another. But this is also not what Paul is speaking in 1 Corinthians. And the third thing that faith is not, it is not the tendency of being optimistic about everything without doing any work. So faith is definitely not what we sing in the chorus of the well-known song, "Que Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, will be." It is not just sitting at the side watching and then letting things be or letting things happen. So faith is not passive waiting. And James put it in a very blunt way in chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. He says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." So faith is not without action, and faith is also not blind. So faith and knowledge go hand in hand because our faith stands firm in God's character and we trust God's promises in his word. In Hebrews chapter 11, the well-known passage about faith, in verse 1, he describes saying faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So if you continue to read the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, it shows us a list of men and women of God from the Old Testament, from Abel to Noah to Abraham, Moses, David, and then many more. So these guys men and women, they were not perfect people. They did not live a perfect life. They did not even live the easiest life. But through faith, they were assured of things they could neither see nor prove. And they persevered through the most difficult circumstances because their faith is in the God who called them. So in our series on 1 and 2 Samuel, in our Sunday sermons and previously in our prayer meetings, we have been looking at the person of David. And although God anointed him as king and promised to establish a kingdom for David, we know David had to go through a lot of challenges, a lot of troubles. And it was his faith in God and God's promises that kept David going, doing what God calls him to do in obedience. So he knew that there was no one else that he should or could turn to. And even when he himself sinned against God, when God confronted him, he repented and he turned back to God. And yet when he did become king, that was not his greatest achievement or his deepest longing. Kingship and having the kingdom of a kingdom to rule after were not his ultimate goal. It did not bring David the fulfillment that only God can give. So his devotion, his delight was to be in the presence of God. And in one of his Psalms, he said, "Better is one day in the courts of the Lord than a thousand elsewhere." So he himself looked forward to a day where he will be found in the presence of God with unveiled face, being with the one whom he longs for, the one who loves him, the one who he loves. And the author of Hebrews tells us all these men that we mentioned just now and more, and women of God, look forward to that day. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, and then later 39 to 34 says, all these people, the men and women of God listed in the previous verses, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. And in verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something great, better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So such was their faith in God that even without receiving or even seeing the things that was promised in their lifetime, they saw it in the future and they welcomed them from a distance. And coming back to 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks about this faith in the next chapter, saying in chapter 13, verse 2, if I have faith that can move mountains. So this is a figurative speech, a metaphor of faith that believes in the impossible because of who God is. In the Gospels, we see that Jesus also speaks about a faith that moves mountains. In Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 23, Jesus saying this, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. So this verse has been misquoted to invoke God to do whatever we want. And when we do that, you know, we have no desire to know God's will. We have no understanding of what God wants us to do in a particular situation. We simply want God to do what we want. So we tell people or we tell ourselves that we just need to have faith. Then God will do this. You know, the Bible says that God will do what we are asking for if we have faith. And then when God does not answer the prayer, we come to a conclusion that either God is a bad God because he doesn't want to give us what we want, or God is not answering us because we do not have enough faith. Of course, faith certainly plays a very important role, but it is not as simplistic as that. That is what the prosperity gospel preaches, the word of faith movement, and the positive confessions of our motivational speakers like us to believe. So they will tell us, you just need to believe and you will get what you want. And if it's not happening, it's because you are not doing it right. But if you get back to the theology of the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts are given to build the kingdom of God, not for self-preservation, not for selfish ambitions, not for self-glorification. So it has nothing to do with us getting what we want without seeking the will of God. So the Holy Spirit who gives the gifts of faith, he will also reveal the heart of God to us. So the faith that we have will be aligned to what God is doing for his purpose, for his glory. So it is the kind of faith to do the will of God regardless of our circumstances, even when it contradicts everything that we see happening around us. And this is the kind of faith the persecuted Christians have. So despite their present circumstances, their faith in Jesus Christ is not wavered. The Holy Spirit strengthens their faith to continue to stand, to speak for Christ. The Christians who are in prison, Christians who are treated terribly, without any glimpse of hope for freedom, they can continue to worship God. And like Christ, they can forgive and love their persecutors because their hope is not on what happens to them or when they will be released from prison or from their agony, but it is in the assurance of being with the God who loves them, whether it's in life or it's in death. And we see this even in Stephen, the first Christian martyr, having this faith. Acts chapter 7 tells us that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he saw the kingdom of God, the glory of God, when they were about to stone him to death. So his faith was placed upon what is beyond this world, beyond his life and death. And because of that, he could stand for Christ. He could forgive. He could pray for those who were going to kill him. And another example is the Apostle John. When he was imprisoned on an isolated island for following Jesus, he wrote the book of Revelation to encourage Christians who were facing persecution all over the world. And he was a man who do not have any glimpse of light for a future on earth. Yet he wrote such a beautiful future that we all will have with our King when the time comes. So you and I, we live in a place and time that we may not necessarily go through such extreme circumstances, but we all do face difficult circumstances. There are some of us who have prayed prayers for many years, but we have yet to come to see it come to pass. And there are some circumstances that we have been battling for a long time, and yet things doesn't seem to budge. And there are loved ones that we have been praying for their salvation for years. Yet every time we look at them, they seem to be living further and further away from God. And these things can waver our faith. These things can make us question ourselves. These things can make us doubt God. But when we do look to God, He will strengthen our faith. He will align us to His will. He will teach us. He will lead us. He will help us believe that He is working, even though things seem bleak and impossible to our human eyes. About 12 years ago, some of us went to Bangladesh for a mission trip. So we were invited to minister in a national conference there. I think it was a youth conference, and we were there to lead worship. So as you all know, Bangladesh is a Muslim country. So Christians there, they do not have as much freedom or privileges, especially when it comes to the church or Christian events. So, and then in order to host this conference, the organizers had to apply to rent a stadium to accommodate more people coming. So I remember we arrived there probably 1 or 2 days before the conference. And the host, Pastor Panuel, he brought us around and he showed us the stadium. But what was shocking, at least it was shocking to me, even that 1 or 2 days before the conference, the authority had not approved the usage of the stadium because it was a Christian event. So they were not thrilled that the Christians are having this conference, so they did not want to approve it. And I remember Pastor Panuel asked us to pray for the approval. And at the time, I was thinking to myself, it's only a few days before this big event, and what are we going to do if the approval doesn't come through? I was worried, and I wasn't even the organizer. But somehow, Pastor Panuel had faith that God would intervene and it will come through. And yes, it did come true in the end, at the very last minute. God did intervene and He did gather His people all over Bangladesh to minister to them. So despite of my lack of faith, God was gracious to show me that God is in charge, not us, not Pastor Panuel, and not even the authority. So God is at work. And when we respond in obedience to do His work, we will learn not to live by sight, but by faith in what our great almighty God can do. And if we lack such faith, let us learn to pray like the father whose son needed healing in Mark chapter 9. Jesus confronted the father's unbelief, and he said in verses 23, "Everything is possible for the one who believes." And then immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." So the second gift is healing, and the third gift is miraculous power or miracles. So I grouped them together because they overlap with one another. And the gifts of healing and miracles are also very closely to the gift of faith, because one would require to have faith to perform healing and miracles. Okay, so the Greek word for healing is iama. It can be used to refer both to both physical healing and spiritual restoration. So restoring someone to health or well-being, or reconciling them to God. So the book of Acts shows several occasions that the apostles exercised this gift of healing. So in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John healed a beggar at the temple. And in Acts chapter 9, Peter healed a bedridden man. In the same chapter, Paul's eyes were healed by Ananias. And in chapter 14, Paul healed a man that was lame from birth. There were more occasions, but the Bible shows that this is not a normal thing, that it is not a normative in their lives. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, Paul himself told the church that he suffered and was not healed from his thorn in the flesh. So he prayed for God to remove this thorn, but God did not. And in fact, God told him that my grace is sufficient for you, asking Paul to rely on God's grace. So the point is, It is God who heals. He gives his disciples these gifts. But at the same time, healing does not happen all the time. There are also times where healing does not take place. And when we look at the occasions where there is healing in this time, it reveals an interesting trend. There are actually more manifestations of the gifts of healing in parts of the world where people do not have access to good medical treatment. What it reveals is, yes, God does heal through miracles, but he also heals through medical treatments. Some people think that these two contradict one another, saying that if we trust in God, we should not seek medical treatment. But just like every other good thing, medical advances, medical doctors and treatments, they are good gifts from God to his people. Certainly, there is a caution to trust in science more than God. We should never let our faith and trust in doctors and medical treatments take the place of God. Yet we must also not be foolish to think that God can only heal us through miracles. We shouldn't put limitations to what God can do or how he does it. My point is, God is our Jehovah Rapha, our great physician, our healer, and he can heal us through different methods. So next, the word is miraculous powers. And in Greek, it literally means activities of power. So it refers to extraordinary activities such as casting out demons and raising the dead. And in the Gospels, we see Jesus did many miracles. He cast demons out of people, he raised the dead, he multiplied food, he walked on water, and of course, he rose from the dead. And the disciples were also given these gifts. During Jesus' lifetime, he sent out the 72 disciples and they did many signs and wonders. And after his death, it continued. So in Acts chapter 9, Peter raised Tabitha from the dead. And Acts 19 tells us that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. People got healed and evil spirit left those who were possessed. So in the ancient world, physical and mental illness were usually associated with demonic and supernatural influence. So the ancient healing methods could actually involve exorcisms, rituals, prayers, and offerings designed to appease the supernatural being that are causing the affliction. So in this context, the gift of healing from the Holy Spirit can serve in both entities. Physical healing from the sickness and spiritual healing by reconciling them to a right relationship with God. So it was one of the functions of the church to minister to those who were physically and mentally ill. And one of the ways was by casting out demons. And through that, they bring spiritual healing in restoring them to God. And I'm not sure if you ever noticed this, but exorcism, casting out demons, is actually more common in places where there are pagan worships. For example, it is more common in Asian and African countries as compared to the West. And in Malaysia itself, if you think about it, 20, 30 years ago, you tend to hear more of the healing and deliverance ministry as compared to now. This is because in that time, many Christians were converts from other pagan religions. So they used to worship idols as spirits, and then they decided to give their lives to Jesus. So some of them, when they believe and decided to follow Jesus, evil spirits whom they used to worship and appease began to disturb them and manifest in different ways. And there is a need for the ministry of healing and deliverance, casting out these spirits, helping them to resist these spirits with the power of the Holy Spirit, and of course, helping them to go through physical, mental, and spiritual healing. And what we need to remember is this healing, these miracles, this casting out of demons are not an end to itself. Because the ultimate goal of all these things is to lead people into a deeper relationship with Christ, to growth in their faith and their knowledge of God. So in the Gospels, you see Jesus performing these signs and wonders, but it is to show that he is indeed the Messiah. He is the Son of God. Jesus always paired it up with his teaching, talking about the kingdom of God. And after Jesus' death, the disciples continue to do these things among the people, and it serves again as an authentication towards the message that the disciples and the church were preaching, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died and rose again, and he saved us by taking away our sins. So today, the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles should also serve as the same purpose. It should bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people. Through these gifts, people will be pointed to Christ, and through the teaching of God's word, they will be reconciled with God. So I'm a second generation Christian. So my parents became Christians because they went to Christian schools when they were young. But my grandparents were very adamant to stay in their tradition, their ancestral worship, even when their children became Christians. But what changed my grandmother's heart was a healing rally. So my uncle was born with some disabilities, and he used to get very bad seizures as a child. So at the time, an evangelist came to town for a healing rally. My mom brought my uncle to the rally, and my uncle actually experienced healing. So, and the seizure slowly went off. And that actually made my grandmother believe in Jesus, because her gods had no power to do anything for her son. But this Jesus had the power to heal her son. And thankfully, that led her to church. And then through the church, through the teaching, through the word of God, she became a Christian. And today, God continues to heal and do miracles. So he gives his people these gifts, and the purpose of these gifts is to bring glory to God, to bring people back to God. And what we need to be mindful of is these healings, these miracles, they are wonderful, but they are only temporary blessings. What they should also remind us is in the complete renewal and transformation of our bodies and the rest of the creation that awaits us in the new heavens and the new earth when Jesus returns. And that is the day that the men and women of God put their faith in, and we should put our faith in as well. So I'd like to close with verses 4 to 6. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So David Pryor in the Message commentary says this: there is an implicit and spontaneous Trinitarian ring to verses 4 to 6. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God, with an apparent natural emphasis on gracious giving on the part of the Spirit, sacrificial service on the part of the Son, and purposeful power on the part of the Father. So God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are working together to bless the church with gifts so that we, the church, may fulfill our calling in building the kingdom of God. And these gifts are used to draw people back to Christ, to save them from their sins and the power of darkness, to adopt them into the kingdom of God as children of God, to fill them with the Holy Spirit so that they can bear the fruit of the Spirit and have the gifts of the Spirit to build the kingdom of God. So we use the gifts of the Spirit to bring people back into God's kingdom, God's family. And as these people encounter God, then they become instruments to draw others into the God's kingdom. And the cycle goes on and on until people from all nations would hear about the gospel and could come back to Christ. So God desires to bless the church, each of us, with his gifts. So let us learn to desire these gifts. Let us pray and seek the Holy Spirit to reveal, to develop the gifts that he has given us, and to show us how we can use each of these gifts to serve him, to serve others, and to build the church in unity. So we're going to go into a time of prayer. And the first part is about the gift of faith, healing, and miracles. Let us seek the Lord to build our faith so that we will do the will of God regardless of our circumstances, regardless of how we feel. And let us also seek God for the gifts of healing and miracles so that we can be a blessing to the community and lead people to Christ. And as we pray for these gifts, let us ask God to use these gifts to help us grow in maturity in our spiritual walk with Christ. And I've also listed down prayer items for our church. And the theme there is our calling in the marketplace. So let us pray for the marketplace and ask God to use us as his ambassador in wherever he has placed us. And also pray for the ministries that reach out to the community, Life Explorer, Redeeming Roses, and any other ministries that God wants us to start or continue or restart. And as usual, you know, we will also pray for the nation. And I would encourage all of you to join us as we pray. And even if the list is the items that you want to pray is not on the list, you can pray for what God has placed in your heart. Okay. So let us look to God in prayer. Father, once again, we want to thank you, God, that in your love, Lord, in your sovereignty, you choose to make us your partner in your work, God. You choose to allow us to be part of your kingdom's work. And you choose, Lord, to use us as instruments, Lord, to build your kingdom. God, we are thankful, Lord, that even as you call us to do this, we are not left alone to figure out how to do it. You have given us the Holy Spirit. You have given us guidance. You have helped us. And you have given us these gifts, Lord, so that we can use them to build your kingdom, God. And I pray, Lord, for all of us, God. Some point of time or some of us are going through this as well. We have difficult situations that require us to have faith in you. A lot of times it is easier just to put faith in what is happening, to find solutions, to put our trust in our own abilities. But God, I pray, Lord, that you teach us to slow down, to first look to you, God. In those times, Lord, that you will align our perspective, our faith to what you are doing in that situation, God. So we seek you, Lord. We ask, Lord, for faith that can move mountains, Lord. But help us overcome our unbelief, Lord. Help us put our faith in who you are, in your work, in your promises, God. And help us, Lord, to trust in you even though our circumstances tell us otherwise, Lord. So help us to do your will in difficult situations, despite whatever we feel, whatever we think, Lord, that we will do what you have asked us to do, God. And God, we also want to pray, Lord, especially for those who are facing persecution, Lord, that you strengthen their faith in this time, God, that you will be their strength, you will be their grace, Lord, that you will be there, Lord, to speak to them, to open their hearts, to show them your glory, Lord. In times where they need help, Lord, that you will supply, you will provide their needs, God. God, we also ask, Lord, that you will also give us the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, Lord, so that we can be a blessing, Lord, to the community around us, so that we can point people back to you, Lord. And we especially pray, Lord, for spiritual restoration, for spiritual healing, Lord. There are so much brokenness in this world. And we just ask, Lord, for you to come. We ask, Lord, that you make us instruments of healing and restoration and reconciliation, Lord. That we will bring people back to you, Lord. That wherever we are, Lord, that we will represent you to love, to bless these people. And we will exercise these gifts, Lord, that we will bring healing and miracles to their lives, God. And God, we pray, Lord, that even as we seek this gift, that you will continue to help us grow into your likeness, Lord, to grow in our relationship with you. That these gifts will help us to encourage one another, to stir up one another's hearts, to edify one another, so that we can bless one another to grow together as a community, Lord. And God, I also want to pray, Lord, that you will help us seek you for the gifts in us, Lord, the gifts that you have blessed us with, Lord, that we will use this, Lord, especially in the marketplace, God. Lord, it is difficult. We are not the world's culture is against your principles, God, and it is difficult, Lord, to stand for what is right, to do what is right, God. So we need your gifts, Lord. We need wisdom, we need knowledge, we need faith, we need healing miracles, we need discernment, Lord, to make decisions. We need courage, we need boldness to do what is right. And we just ask, Lord, that as we yield to the Holy Spirit, that your gifts, Lord, will be manifested in the workplace, God, that you will be a blessing to the workplace, that you will draw people to you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Holy Father, we want to praise you. We want to thank you for your goodness. Dear Lord, we come before you. We ask you, Lord Father, to heal those who are not feeling well. We pray, Lord, even for Andrew, as he's down with a cold, that you heal him, that he will recover, that you will bless him, and that you would lead him, Lord, in your love and your grace. Dear Lord, I just pray even for everyone, Lord, whatever illness, whatever pains that they have to deal with every day, we just pray for your gracious hand to heal them and restore them, Lord, to good health. Dear Lord, I pray, Lord, also for the healing of the heart. If there's anyone who is still suffering loss and grieving, I pray, Lord, Father, that you continue to console them and strengthen them, dear Lord. I pray if there's anyone who is feeling depressed, I pray, Lord, Father, that you would lift them up, Lord, with your word, that you would send people, Lord, with words that will heal and encourage and build, Lord, Father. I pray for anyone who's tired and weak, Lord, from all the responsibilities and the many things that they have to do, Lord. I pray that you would strengthen them, Lord, their mind, their spirit, their body, Lord, Father. I pray, Lord, Father, if there's anyone who's feeling rejected and lonely, Lord, that you would pour out your love, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would remind them of your grace and your goodness in their life. Dear Lord, bring healing, bring hope, dear Lord. And Father, we also pray that you would strengthen our faith. We know, Lord, Father, that you have spoken into our hearts and that you have given us a dream and you have given us visions and you have asked us to trust you and to serve you, Lord, in a certain way. And I pray, Lord, that you would pour out the gift of faith, that we will not give up, that we will not lose hope, that we will see, Lord, the city that you are building, that we will believe, Lord, in the works that you are doing, Lord, Father, in our given situation. So, Lord, let us press on with faith. Let us not give up in doing what is good, Lord, Father. Let us continue to sow, Lord, with hope, knowing, Lord, that as we sow, it is you, Lord, who gives growth. So, Lord, lead this church. Strengthen us, Lord. Sharpen, Lord, our vision. Bring clarity to our convictions. Dear Lord, let us be that people of faith, pressing on, believing, Lord, in the work of your kingdom, that you, our Lord Jesus Christ, goes before us, that you go before us, and that you would do the things that you have in your heart. Let us see your presence, Lord, in every place that you have placed us. Let us see your presence, Lord, in every situation that we are in. Let us understand the empowering of the Holy Spirit to speak, to act, Lord, representing your goodness, representing your love, Lord, Father, each day in our lives. So, Lord, we thank you for bringing us all together here. I also want to pray, Lord, that as if there's anyone, Lord, we know, Lord, Father, that every week we encounter different things and we struggle through different decisions, Lord. And if everyone here, Lord, is in need of guidance and discernment, that you would give it to them, that you would send people to speak into their lives, dear God, that you would restore, Lord, clarity in their hearts, Lord, Father. So I commit them into your hands. I want to thank you that we can gather tonight in your name. I pray that you bless every person here, that you strengthen them, that you continue to be with them throughout this week, that they will sense your glory and your goodness. We give you all glory and honor. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.